الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله، إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا، إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: والله إني لأستغفر الله وأتوب إليه في اليوم أكثر من 70 مرة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers, elders, ulama ikram, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with this wonderful and auspicious day of Jumu'ah. We remind ourselves of the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ شَمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ. The best day and the finest day in which the sun can rise is none other than the day of Jumu'ah. And this is a wonderful ni'mah and a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with every week without fail. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah instill within our hearts the respect and honor of this wonderful day of Jumu'ah. May Allah grant us all the ability to send abundant durood upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a daily basis, but more so on this wonderful day of Jumu'ah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to coincide with the moment that Allah has kept on this day of Jumu'ah, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts dua. And many of the scholars are of the opinion that that moment of acceptance is the final moments of the day of Jumu'ah before the adhan is given on that Friday, before the Maghrib Salah. Those final moments of the day of Jumu'ah, that's the moment that we all need to cash on in. But more importantly, the whole day of Jumu'ah is something that needs to be respected and honored to the best of our ability. Respected brothers and elders, our topic of discussion for today is an act of virtue that needs to be part and parcel of the life of every Muslim, male or female, young or old, irrespective of the circumstance of the individual, be he good or be he bad, be he healthy or be he weak, irrespective across the board, this act of virtue needs to be in the life of every single Muslim. But it's very, very sad and unfortunate that sometimes we confide this one act of virtue and we misconstrue it sometimes only for a certain group of individuals. Whereas this act of virtue is something so noble, so high, and so loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it was a daily practice in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this act of virtue is such that Allah announces in the Quran that His profound love for those individuals that engage in this act of virtue. So what is this act of virtue that we're speaking about? Something that is greatly loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and something that was a daily practice in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This act of virtue that we're speaking about today is the act of virtue known as tawbah and repentance, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, it is a great act of virtue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala profoundly announces in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah dearly loves those who repent towards Him. Look at the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith that I recited in the beginning, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wallahi inni la astaghfirullaha wa atubu ilayhi fil yawmi akthara min 70 marra. By the qasam of Allah, I Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a daily basis seek the forgiveness and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than 70 times a day. Not once a day, not twice a day, more than 70 times. There's another hadith where Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, 100 times a day, he would seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While it was an absolute known fact that every blemish or every, what we would say, even a mistake in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was well forgiven in advance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah had announced His blanket forgiveness in the Quran for the entire duration of His life. While He was absolutely sinless and faultless and forgiveness was already granted to Him, yet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis more than 70 and sometimes up to 100 times a day. And as I mentioned earlier, sometimes we misconstrue this only for a select group of individuals that know that only if you do something wrong you should make tawbah and you should make istighfar. Whereas that's not the case. This act of virtue needs to be in the life of every single Muslim, be he good or be he bad, male or female, young or old, irrespective of your situation. You need to have this wonderful act of virtue in your life on a daily basis, because tawbah is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Tawbah is something that draws you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More so if you do something wrong, it's your duty as your Muslim and your iman demands that while it is a known fact that man is not sinless, kullu bani adama khatta'oon, man is prone to wrong, wa khayrul khatta'een at-tawwaboon, but the best of those who slip, the best of those who make a mistake are those who immediately run back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is very, very important. So while it is for those who disobey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's not only for them, it's for every one of us. Every one of us need to be seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every one of us need to be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His closeness and returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To say astaghfirullah, to ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. This should be our daily practice every single day of our lives. Why this should be our practice? Because nobody knows how unpredictable times can be. How often the situations change in a man's life. Today he is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is close to deen. Something goes wrong in the future, it's an absolute opposite that you see from the individual. And sometimes you see a person and you think that this man, there's no hope for him, he's moved away so far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then Allah puts that feeling within a person's heart to draw him closer towards Him. Allah puts that regret and that remorse in the hearts of that individual, and now he draws close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today inshallah we will go through a story mentioned in hadith about an individual who was determined to secure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness irrespective of how far he had moved away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An individual who was so determined to get the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he managed to overcome the vastness of his wrong. And how great was his wrong? But he looked more at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other outstanding thing in this hadith and the story that we will narrate today is, to what lengths would Allah go to forgive an individual? How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to forgive? To what extent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will go to show that irrespective, Allah wants to forgive you, provided you take that first step. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once narrated to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he said, كان في من كان قبلكم رجل قتل 99 نفسا. There was a man who had lived in previous times and he had murdered and mercilessly killed 99 people. 99 human beings this man killed. Now we can well imagine the greatness of the person's crime. Not one to kill one individual is so bad in this life. Imagine killing 99 people. He had murdered 99 people. But then, as I mentioned, irrespective of how far you have gone, you can always get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the main things that is lacking in today's time, amongst our various weaknesses and our various mishaps that we encounter on a daily basis, the one thing that seems to be slipping away is regret and remorse. Whereas that is the fundamental thing for tawbah. You have to acknowledge what you did was wrong, and you should feel bad at some point or the other. While it's an accepted fact that none of us are perfect, but the fact that you slip up and you made a mistake, there should be that regret and remorse in our hearts. Today, unfortunately, instead of regret and remorse, sometimes when the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is broken, people take joy and pleasure in the act that they carried out. We boast about the wrong that we have done. We feel proud of our achievement that we have done something wrong. Whereas the fundamental thing when it comes to tawbah is regret and remorse, to such an extent that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "An-nadmu tawbatun." He said that the mere fact that you regret your act is itself tawbah. That is the first step to tawbah. The mere fact that you felt bad, how could I break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How could I slip so low? How could I do that act? Momentarily, for the duration of you perpetrating that act, you might have that superficial type of enjoyment. You might be lost for those few moments. Your gauge is not in order, your compass is not in order. You're not in your senses. But once it's over, and when reality dawns upon you, that's the time regret and remorse needs to come in your heart. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about. This is what Allah loves. That you moved away, you slipped away, but you come running back to the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For where else do we have to turn? Now this man killed 99 people. We would term him as a mass murderer. People would write him off their books. Nobody would give him a second look. Everybody will pass judgment on him. But then this man had regret and remorse in his heart for his wrong that he had done. فَسَأَلَا أَعْلَمِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ Then he inquires from the people. He says, no man, I got a problem. Who can I speak to? I need to speak to a man of knowledge. Who's the most knowledgeable person around? I have a problem. فَدُلَّ عَلَىٰ رَاهِبٍ So people gave him directions. They gave him reference. They said, no, go to this certain man. You know, he's a worshipper. He's a very pious man. Go to him. Go talk to him. But the man that he was directed to was devoid of knowledge. He was not an intelligent man. He was a worshipper, fair enough. But he was not a man of knowledge. He never knew how to appropriately guide this person. So now this man goes, the mass murderer, he goes to the place where he was referred to, and he asked the individual, he says, إِنَّهُ قَتَلَ تِسَعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ نَفْسًا Look, you know, I know of a man who's killed 99 people. Take note of how he puts the question forward. Doesn't say, I killed. You know, many a times, this is something that's prevalent even in today's time. A man goes to Maulana, I say, you know, Maulana, my friend was asking me this question. Friend never asked nothing. You want to know, but you're feeling shy to say it yourself. So you say, no, somebody was asking me. They said, I must just find out from you, what's this masla? You're not putting yourself in the picture. And then when it's given to him, you say, okay, inshallah, I'll tell him. But you already got your answer. So there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to reveal your source or your wrong. You can use that third person. This is what this man did. He says, there's a man who's killed 99 people. فَهَلَّهُ مِن تَوْبَةٍ Is there any chance for this man to get forgiveness? What's his chances? So this man who was devoid of knowledge, he looks at him and he says, the man killed 99 people. Now he's asking for forgiveness. La, there's no chance for him. After killing 99 people, now he's inquiring. So this man who inquired, who was in the problem, whose heart was full of regret and remorse, he loses it. He says, if there's no chance for me when I kill 99, momentarily he loses his senses, he kills this man as well. فَكَمَّلَ بِهَا مِئَةً Now he has killed 100 people. Imagine, he had regret and remorse in his heart, ready to get guidance. He slips again, and now he kills another individual. Now there's 100 people that are under his wrong that he has killed. But again, when regret and remorse seeps into the heart of a person, he is thirsty, he is looking for guidance. There's nothing that's going to stop him from getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again now he asks the question, فَسَأَلَا نَعْلَمِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ Who is the most knowledgeable man? I can't live this way. I need forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not happy with my life. So now this time, فَدُلَّ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ عَالِمٍ Now he's referred to the right man. He's referred to the man of knowledge. Now here the important lesson for us is, there's many times we encounter a problem or a crossroad in our life, and we need guidance, and we need somebody to show us the right way. It's very, very important which door we knock at. Sometimes you knock at the wrong door, you end up in a worse problem than you were in the beginning. The man had 99 murders under him. He was directed to the wrong place, he ended up with 100. Sometimes it can be more detrimental to your faith and your iman if you're going to the wrong place. You need to make sure you go to the right place so that you are given the appropriate guidance and your problem is inshallah sorted out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. But now he was given the right reference. He was given the right address to go to. He knocked on the right door. And now he knocks on this man's door and he says, إِنَّهُ قَتَلَ مِئَةَ نَفْسٍ